The Book Nook on WYSO was presented by the Greene County Public Library, with additional support from Wright Memorial Public Library, Clark County Public Library, Tipp City Public Library, Dayton Metro Library, and Washington Centerville Public Library.
Hello, welcome to the Book Nook on WYSO. I'm Vic McInnes. It's my pleasure to welcome back to the program Don Winslow. He joins us on the telephone in California. Welcome back to the show, Don.
Thanks. Thanks for having me. Always a pleasure to be with you.
Don, last time I had you on was for the third book in a trilogy that you put out. And then we were told, this is it. Don is retiring. He's not going to be doing this anymore. And I sat there and I thought, how could he possibly retire? How could he do it? He loves writing so much, and here you are with a new book. Please explain how this happened.
You know, Vic, sometimes – well, first of all, you know, one of the reasons that I retired or took a long hiatus was for political purposes, you know, to fight against what happened anyway. And so, you know, I took a long time off, and then, you know, I had these stories and these characters that just kept running around in my head. I know it sounds a little airy-fairy, but sometimes characters talk to you, you know, and won't shut up, and demand to be written. And so I finally gave in and sat down and wrote them.
And the result is the final score. And would we call this a collection of novellas?
Yeah, I think so. I think you'd call it a collection of short stories and novellas. Yeah, I don't know exactly how to categorize them. You know, they kind of take up the space they need.
And you start us off with the title track, so to speak, the final score. Can we talk about some of these stories without giving away too much?
Sure, we'll try.
Okay. Well, you start off the final score and you say, John Hyland is going to die in prison. And John is a criminal, but we feel very sympathetic for him. I love the story. Tell us a little bit about it.
You know, it's one of those stories that came to me because of the first sentence, which is not unusual in my career. I just had this sentence running around my head, John Hyland is going to die in prison, because I wanted to write a story about the end of things, about a guy who is, you know, who has been convicted of a crime of robbery and knows he's going to jail and knows that at his phase of life, he's probably not going to come out on 2 feet. And what that means. And, you know, he's trying to get his wife set up so that she can live her life out in some comfort. And that's why he goes for this final score, for this last job.
And he really has a challenge here. And you give us a twist in this one that is so delicious, because there's treachery all through this. And Hyland, he's a smart guy.
He's a smart guy. He's a veteran guy. He's one of those guys who sees around corners, you know, and not untypical for that kind of criminal, by the way. I mean, I know of a few of them. I know a couple of them, you know, who are professional robbers. They're not violent. They don't kill anybody. But they're definitely criminals. They definitely take other people's money, OPM, as I've called it in the past. But, you know, they're professional about it, and they plan and they organize and they think things through, and they think, you know, of, okay, what could go wrong here? What could go wrong there? And also, who can I trust and who can't I trust?
Do you enjoy writing about criminals who we like?
Sure. Listen, I mean, I think that's one of I don't know if I want to call it a trick, but I suppose it's a trick of a certain genre of crime fiction of you know, of which I write, which is you have this challenge of writing about people who do, you know, objectively bad things, and yet you need to make them sympathetic or at least empathetic for the reader, so the reader is on their side. And I do enjoy doing that because it's tricky. you know, it's tough. You're walking this very fine line, and it's easy to fall off that wire.
The next story is the Sunday List, and it's set in Rhode Island in 1970.
Yeah.
And I know this is your old home turf. And if I had to pick a favorite story, I think it would be this one, because I love your protagonist in this. This kid, he's grown up in this family that doesn't really give him any love, and they're like kind of like stoned hippies, and he wants to go to college. He wants to make something out of himself, and he's got all these obstacles. And I just totally related to this guy.
Oh, cool. All right. Yeah, I'm very fond of this story myself, to be honest, you know, because it's evocative for me. It's the era in which I grew up in this town in Rhode Island, and, you know, all the locations are real. Could take you to every one of them. And so it was fun and kind of poignant for me to write. You know, I did not grow up that way. My parents, I hasten to add, were not neglectful hippies. But I certainly knew kids, you know, went to high school with kids who were in that situation, you know, in that era. And so it was fun to write.
You want to tell them what the Sunday List was?
In those days, Rhode Island was a dry state on Sundays. You couldn't buy booze. And so you had these people who didn't plan well enough or whatever, and they need booze delivery on Sundays. And so this kid, Nicky, this high school kid getting ready to go to college, it's one of his side gigs, is he pulls up to the back of this liquor store and loads up his little Chevy Nova with the Sunday List, an inventory of booze to be delivered to these customers, which is, you know, illegal. But that's his job, and it goes from there.
One of the themes in these stories that holds them together for me as a reader is when you have somebody who's a really good person who gets in a situation where they've got to do something really bad that goes against everything they believe in. And in the North Wing, this is classic.
The North Wing was a tough story to write for exactly the reasons that you alluded to. You know, you take a guy that I think you like, you know, this local police officer who is trying to make it onto the state patrol. And he has a ne'er-do-well cousin who does something horrible and is going to go to prison. And this guy feels responsible for him, not to get him out of prison, but to get him in a wing of the prison where life would be possible and survival would be possible, which is a very real thing. At the adult correctional institutions in Rhode Island, there was a wing that all the mob guys went to and lived as comfortable a life, I suppose, as you can live in a prison, but much superior to the general population. This cousin is small and scrawny, and this guy knows what's going to happen to him if he's in the general population, and so he has to compromise what he believes in to try to get him into the North Wing.
And the mob, a lot of times, you can't defeat them. They're relentless. They just keep coming back, don't they?
Yeah, particularly in that era, you know, not so much now. They still exist, but nowhere to the extent that they did when I was growing up, when I was a young man there. But yeah, they were omnipresent, and you felt their presence all the time.
If you're just tuning in, my guest is Don Winslow. His new collection of stories, long stories, novella length, is The Final Score. You're listening to The Book Nook on 91.3 WYSO. Sharing community voices through inspired storytelling. True story is the fun story. You really have some fun with this one. These two guys, these two gangster types, they're having this conversation. And it's very circular. They keep going round and round and round. But it's basically about Lenny No Socks. And we learn about a lot of a lot of gangster nicknames in this one. This is really fun.
Yeah, I wrote this just for fun. You know, one of the joys of doing this volume, doing The Final Score, was I could write whatever I wanted to write. and experiment and play. You know, I think what's unique about this story is there's no narrative. It's entirely dialogue. And it's just these two guys who start to tell a narrative story, but, you know, just keep getting distracted by other stories. And listen, I mean, I've been at these breakfasts, you know, I've sat around these tables and heard these guys talk. And so it was really fun, just to sit down and start wailing away on the keyboard, you know, and having a good time with it.
Well, the one guy, he's doing all the talking, but the other guy's really good at just kind of going along with it and pushing him along.
Yeah. Little counterpoint, you know. I mean, I think that you know, one of the challenges in writing something like that is you need to establish a comedic rhythm, you know, that has evolved over the years from, you know, I think burlesque comedians, you know, and then Abbott and Costello and those kinds of people that eventually evolved into Seinfeld. And that kind of humor where one person telling a story is not going to be necessarily funny, but the second person's reaction to it and sort of counterpoint is what makes it amusing and what sets up the sort of comedic rhythm that we're used to hearing, you know. And that was a challenge, but also, you know, really fun.
Wow, I love that analysis. In the lunch break, we meet some familiar faces.
Yeah.
Who are these guys?
They're surf bums. It's Boone Daniels, you know, from a series of books and short stories I've done about this surf crew, the Dawn Patrol, in a neighborhood of San Diego, Pacific Beach. You know, you get to know these guys over the years, but basically, you know, Boone Daniels is a surfing PI, who works just enough to support his surfing Jones. But this story centers more on a good buddy of his we've met before, Dave the Love God, which is a ironic take on lifeguard, given Dave's romantic life, and about a spoiled movie star, a starlet, I guess you'd call her in the old days, who has to be babysat through location shooting in San Diego and what happens around that.
She is hilarious.
Thank you. Listen, you know, I've done my laps in Hollywood, you know. And so none of these people are unfamiliar characters to me.
Okay. Well, yeah. The really hard story for me was also the longest story.
Yeah.
And this is the one you close things out with, the collision. And it starts off, and it's this family, and they are so perfect. They are so happy. I was about ready to throw up. I was just like, man, you know, why do I have to read about these people that have everything going for them? And then just like you just turn on a dime and you go, but this happens. Yeah. And then you next thing we know, we're plunged into this prison. And and this poor guy, I love his cellmate.
Yeah, thank you. Well, you know, listen, my work has often made people want to throw up, so you know, you're not unique in that regard. Sorry, Vic. I wanted to write, you know, it's taking the North Wing and then upping it times 10, you know, about somebody who, you know, is living, as you alluded to, this sort of perfect life, and then in just an instant, you know, makes a bad decision. And I'm not even sure it was a decision more than it was sort of a physical, you know, reflex, where a car almost runs, you know, into his wife and kid, and he responds, you know, violently, and his life changes in that instant. And then, you know, what tumbles out of that causes more and more decisions to which there are no good alternatives. You're only trying to choose the least bad, and what happens from there.
And once again, we have a character who's a really good guy who's forced to do really bad things. And I kept thinking, how is Don going to save us? How are we going to get out of this? And I don't think it's a spoiler to say that it actually has a happy ending.
Unusual for my stories, right?
Well, I don't know about that.
I don't know. There was a buddy of mine who once said all Winslow stories end one of two ways, either in death or exile. There's some accuracy to that, you know. It does. It does. It ends with kind of redemption and possibility, you know.
Well, I loved all these stories. It's The Final Score.
You.
Yeah. By Don Winslow, who joins us on the telephone in California. And you alluded to, I guess, Hollywood a minute ago when you were talking about that starlet. And you've got a lot of stuff going on, Don. Tell us about all this the stuff in development and in production. I don't know the right terminology here. All this stuff going on with you.
I don't know that I do either, by the way, but there's, a short story of mine that appeared in a volume called Broken a few years ago has been turned into a film that opens February 13th called Crime 101 with Mark Ruffalo and Chris Hemsworth and Halle Berry and Monica Barbaro and Nick Nolte, Barry Keoghan. So it's got this great cast. I'm really happy with it. The film looks great.
Was that the story about the jewel thieves?
It is.
Right.
It
okay.
Is.
I love that story.
Just commits crimes just up and down Highway 101.
Gotcha.
Bart Layton wrote the script and directed it. It's terrific. So, you know, I'm very, very enthused about it. And so that comes out February 13th. Collision, the story we were just discussing, has been picked up by film. And so that's in progress. And then the three Danny Ryan books, the first of which is called City on Fire, is, you know, in development for another motion picture. And so there's just a lot going on, yeah.
Did you just say that Collision is in development? Because, Don, your book, as we're speaking, your book isn't even out yet, man.
It was in development last August.
Okay.
And I don't know what I'm allowed to say about it or what I'm not, so I'm not going to say much, but it's pretty exciting. Yeah. Yeah, no, it got picked up, like, right away.
Very cool. Well, you mentioned when we started about how you went into retirement for one reason, for political purposes. Mm-hmm. And the only reason, Don, that I still look at what I still call Twitter is so that mm-hmm. I can see your feed, Don.
Oh, well, thank you.
And you're so active on there. And you post all these movies and trailers and stuff on there. And you produce these movies. And we're taping this on January 5th. Tomorrow's January 6th.
Yeah.
Do you think we'll have some distractions tomorrow?
I think so. I hope so. But not to the extent that we should, to tell you the truth. I think, you know, Americans are simultaneously blessed and cursed with short memories. Mm. I think it's a blessing in the sense that we tend to get over things and get on with things, but I think it's a curse. In the sense that we forget what has happened and what are some of the root causes of what's happened. And that was, to me, one of the most shameful and outrageous events in American history. And I think that history, as it goes on, will be not kind to these people.
Well, so. We seem to be in a state of paralysis, and the, quote, opposition party is led by a guy, a senator, who – how does he remind you of a VHS tape?
Listen, I'm not going to get deeply into the opposition party and those politicians.
Okay.
I just think we need some deep changes in the way that we approach this and the way that we oppose this. And we need to get tough and we need to get realistic. And we need to start talking to the people who should be our natural constituency and who left in too great numbers, you know, in this last election.
Do you think that we'll ever get to the point where we have a national strike?
I don't think so. I doubt it, because we tend to be, you know, very practical and very pragmatic. So I kind of doubt it. But, you know, I'm out of the prediction business.
Oh, okay.
You know, who knows what's going to happen? I mean, you know, it's like Act 4 of Macbeth, you know. Each new day, new widows howl, new orphans cry. You know, you never know what's going to happen from day to day. And there seems to be no bottom. Now, my hope is that people get fed up with this and that people get sort of buyer's remorse, you know, when they realize, you know, what they've put back into office.
Well, I can predict one thing based on my observations, and that's it. We're bound to have a new distraction every 5 minutes.
Well, but that's the game, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, you know, we invade Venezuela. You know, it'd be interesting to find out, you know, what we're being distracted from.
That's a pretty big distraction.
Particularly if you're Venezuelan, I would think.
Yeah. Don Winslow joins us. We're talking about the final score. So does this mean, Don, that you're back in the saddle and there's going to be more books coming out of you?
Yeah, I'm not trying to be coy, Vic. I don't know the answer to that question. What I've learned over the past couple of years in all sorts of arena is never say never. I'll always write. I was this morning, before this talk. I don't know that I'll always publish, and that's a question in my mind right now as well.
Okay. Well, we've had you on the show a half dozen times, and the first time I had you on was for Satori. And
wow.
Yeah, your career then was very different than it is now. And
yes, it was.
Yeah, and I'm thinking, if I had to come up with a difference in my mind, just on my perception from distant observation, I'd say it's because you connected with this guy who's like the super agent. This guy has just like – the two of you are just such a team.
Yeah, absolutely. Shane Salerno, you know, like a brother to me, by the way. I was his first client, and that was around the time of Satori, a little after I did Satori. You know, super agent, super writer, you know, has written little films like Avatar and Armageddon.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, so he doesn't need my money. But,
wow.
We have a very close relationship. He turned my career around almost overnight. You know, in reality, it took a year or so, but, you know, I became an overnight success in my 50s. He's made all the difference. And the other thing is he's just a solid human being, you know. You know, it's funny. I don't even want to say how much money we've dealt with together. We don't even have a contract.
Nice.
And I would say we have a handshake deal, but I'm not even sure we ever shook hands over it, you know. There's that level of trust and mutual respect. And what it did for me in addition to the business thing was it just allowed me just to write. Do you know what I mean? I just turned all of the business end over to him, and I've never thought about it. Literally, don't think about it. And that's just allowed me to just write, which is an enormous, you know, freedom and empowerment.
Well, it seemed to me that figuratively, you finally just put your foot down. And I can remember when The Cartel came out, and I was so excited about that book. And I kept calling the imprint, and like, you know, I really want to talk to Don Winslow about this. And I'm like, oh, well, he's not available. And I figured out years later, that's right about when you were putting your foot down.
Yeah.
Right then. Because they're like, right, no, then. He's not doing an interview with you. He's not cooperating with us at all. Right?
We went through a period that was, without over-dramatizing it, it's sort of like a war.
Yeah. Well, I got so desperate, I even contacted the late Russell Perot because he was kind of my guy who I could call and he'd like perform a miracle for me. And he's like, nope.
Wow.
He's not, it's not going to happen.
And here we are, Vic.
And here we are.
So and I'm glad we are.
So before I let you go, Don, what's it? I know you read a lot of stuff, and I know you read stuff way before it comes out. What's the coolest book you've read lately?
Oh, boy. You know, lately I've been reading a lot of African literature. And I, Chimamanda Azia, I think her name is, and, a book called Purple Hibiscus, and some other things by her that I've been amazingly impressed by.
Well, I've on my list of stuff that I've been reading. Are you familiar with Andrew Welsh Huggins?
Yeah, yeah.
This new series of his with Mercury Carter, it reminds me of like the classic Lee Child Jack Reacher, except his guy is just little diminutive, harmless looking guy. He's not like the big Reacher, but this guy,
like Jack, yeah.
Yeah. But this guy, man, these books are so exciting. I just love these books.
Yeah. And Lou Burney's recent stuff, you know, great stuff. There's so many terrific writers out there. It's why sometimes I always hesitate to answer this question, you know, for fear of leaving people out. You know, in our genre, I mean, in the crime genre, I think it's so strong right now.
I had Lou on for that book, and that is the funnest book he's done. I just love that book.
Yeah, Lou's great, you know, and again, you know, it's nice when nice things happen for nice people. You know, he's a really good guy, as well as being a terrific writer, and so that makes it so much easier and so much more fun to, you know, celebrate his success because, you know the person behind it.
And I think he's the only writer I know in Oklahoma.
He kind of owns Oklahoma, doesn't he?
He like, does.
Oklahoma City, which is a great town, by the way. I mean, I really like Oklahoma City. You know, my wife and I drive cross country twice a year. We drive to Rhode Island, you know, from San Diego and then back again. And Oklahoma City is one of our frequent stops. And I like that town a lot.
You stop and have a little meal with Lou?
Yeah, from time to time. Lou took us to a really terrific restaurant, best chicken I've ever had, by the way. but it's a good town, you know, and I laugh at friends of mine, you know, in New York and L.A. who are, you know, frankly snobbish and refer to all that as the flyover zone.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, you don't know it. You're missing it. Some of the best museums and best restaurants and nicest towns, you know, are you know, between New York and L.A. and places, you know, Oklahoma and Kansas and Indiana and other places. And these guys, they miss it. They just don't get it. They just don't know, you know. And sometimes I'm loath to tell them because, I still want to get a reservation at this restaurant.
Okay. Hey, well, Don, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much for your time today.
My pleasure, Vic. Yeah, thank you so much. And you be well, okay?
I will. My guest has been Don Winslow. And the new one is The Final Score. And it's a good one. You heard about it on the Book Nook for the Book Nook. I'm Vic McKeonis.